Thank you so much. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, good day, good noon, good night, good dawn, good post-meridian, good dusk, good desk. Welcome to The Long Shot. I am one of your hosts. My name is Sean Conroy. With me today on the program, as almost always, Amber Kenny is here.
Hello. How are you?
Fully recovered from last week's difficult working situation.
Well, it was, I mean, this wasn't even going to be my checking in, but basically I work from home Mondays and Fridays. Mm-hmm. And
Coffee shop the rest of the week?
No, I work in the office.
Oh, I see.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And we usually record on Mondays, and it was Monday, and it was a busy Monday for me, mm-hmm. even though I was working from home. And you're like, could we push it to Tuesday? I was like, honestly, that would be better. Not at all like taking into account, like, I had to be at the office at 8 a.m. I got stuck there till 6:30. I was like an actual zombie. I was like, and I haven't like seen the sun or worked out. Like, I needed to do.
Yeah.
Just me stuff. So I appreciate you.
It was one of the worst episodes we've ever had.
No, but it's Monday me really thought that I could do it on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. But as soon as Tuesday happened, I was like, I can't do this. What was
I get it, man. life, you know, God, you have other plans and God laughs. No.
God loves
life
to
has
laugh.
A way. Life
it's the
has
best
a way.
Medicine.
Life finds a way, as Jeff Goldblum said in
Jurassic Park.
The Big Chill. Oh, right. Jurassic Park. By the way, this is totally not who cares. This is who cares.
Great.
But I just found out that Jurassic Park led to a screenplay that Michael Crichton had written 20 years previously. So Michael Crichton wrote Jurassic Park, and I'm sure worked on the screenplay. I can't remember if he did it by himself or if there were other people. He had written a screenplay 20 years earlier in 1974. And after the success of Jurassic Park, Spielberg went to Michael Crichton and said, do you have anything else? I'm at the top of my game right now. I mean, 93 was Jurassic Park, and I think maybe Schindler's List was 93, or what other incredible,
wow.
He did two incredible movies that year, commercially and artistically. Anyway, he was like, do you have another? And Crichton said, yes, I have this screenplay. Let's talk about it. Let's do it. And they did. They talked about it. It didn't really work out. But it generated some interest in this screenplay that Crichton had written, and people were like, oh, it's great. We should do something with it. It got into the hands of some TV executives. They liked the screenplay. They ended up turning it into a pilot, which became the TV series ER that ran for 15 years.
Holy crap.
Isn't that a wild – like, I never knew that.
Yeah, and it
gives me hope, because there was Crichton writing the screenplay in 1974, and ER never made it to air until 22 years later.
Right, and it was probably completely different than what he originally
had. I mean,
had.
I think a lot of it – he worked – you know, he went to medical school, and he worked in an ER after he got out.
But, I mean, just it being a TV show, like it just being a different medium, it's
right.
going to be different.
Well, except I think that the – pilot was very similar to his screenplay.
Interesting.
Like
they just
kept it going, you know, and I'm sure changed a little bit of the dramatic arc, because one thing that was interesting, I just watched the pilot recently, which is why I know all of this. One thing that was interesting in the pilot is, and it makes sense, I never watched ER when it was on the air, but there isn't a huge dramatic arc to anybody's story in the pilot. In other words, they're human beings. The doctors are all human. That's the point of the show, is that they have their own stuff going on. But it's not nearly as dramatic. Uh-oh.
I thought I was going to sneeze, but I was trying not to do it directly on the mic, but then it went away.
Speaking of a dramatic arc.
I'm listening.
It's not, you know, every person that comes into the ER is going through the worst moment of their lives. And sure. the doctors are like, I can't it's get Tuesday. Someone to call me yeah. back for a date, you know?
Right, right, right.
So anyway, it was just an interesting thing. So that's my checking out. So we'll see you next time on.
Great. Love it.
Well, no. First, I think we should just talk about this because I got a lot of texts today. A lot of texts. Today was a big day. Today was a big day in the history of cable news. And, of course, we're talking about the fact that Don Lemon got fired by CNN, which kills me that that happened on the same day that Tucker Carlson was fired by Fox because – first of all, on NPR this morning, they reported them both as if they were the same. In other words, it was like...
Yeah, that's tough to be...
Don Lemon, of course, known for sexist remarks on CNN, and Tucker Carlson, known for racist remarks on Fox. Like, as if it's the same thing.
Right, you know? Right, right, right. I would argue probably not the same quantity.
Certainly not the same quantity and also not the same quality and not the mm-hmm. same intent. Like Don Lemon is a dipshit. Mm-hmm. He doesn't understand people and human relationships and when he should just keep his mouth shut. And that's
what was the thing that he said?
It was something about women in their prime. Like it was something about, he said,
I already
about,
don't love it.
Oh, it was definitely bad, but it was one time, you know, yeah. He said,
the thesis of Tucker Carlson is
for years is disinformation yeah. and racism and the great replacement theory. And, you know, so anyway, I woke up this morning and I had about 12 texts waiting for me about like, did you see what happened? Did you see what happened? And I was like, all right. So that was an exciting thing. Now, the other thing is I thought we could start with. Because we did get, over the course of the past several weeks, we got a bunch of comments on our
Great.
Episodes. That's the closest thing we have to email, is if you comment on our YouTube
which is
channel,
Sean
which
Conroy
is Sean gets Conroy Gets Happier. that's
We're
that's
truly, every time we are, we're like, our branding gets farther away. Because yes. at least, like, there was, like, Long Shot and Lo Shopo and the Long Shot podcast. Like, there is problems with those. But, like, you can see a way in.
This is a disaster. We are a 13-year car accident, basically.
It's no, maybe we need to reframe it for ourselves.
Oh, okay.
And it's like we're a speakeasy.
Yeah.
Of a podcast. Like, you got to find us. You got to mm-hmm. be in the know. We're not just out there hanging it out for everybody.
Right. I like that. I like that a lot. Now, I will tell you this. I recently had reason to look up my own name in the archives of the New York Times. Like, when I had ever been quoted okay. in the New York Times. And there was a few of them. And
wow.
One of them was a human interest article about speakeasies in New York City. Like, it was some culture reporter going around
uh-huh.
to a bunch of different speakeasies and talking to people who were at them and saying, do you like this? Do you not like this? guess which side I was on.
Negative.
I was in this speakeasy. And somebody was like, hey, what do you think about this? And I said, I just don't like the feeling that I walk down an alley and I'm about to get murdered. This seems like a disaster. So I like thinking of our show as a bit of a speakeasy podcast.
Because you don't care for them.
I think you could get murdered on your way in. all right. So here's a few. I keep wanting to say emails because they really are just addressed to us. But they are comments on our
They're
YouTube
public
videos.
Comments. Yeah.
On our YouTube channel, which is Sean Conroy Gets Happier. That's mm-hmm. our so the first one is from somebody named Alexis Walker, and it says, I'm sorry if this question has already been answered, but can someone let me know where we would go to purchase the t-shirt once it comes out, or even purchase an old one?
That is a good question.
The next one is
we don't know. I think we don't have a t-shirt at all, in process.
Yeah. Right.
We can probably start taking next steps.
We got a bunch of good suggestions. I had a couple of ideas myself. We need to figure out how to get designs, see which ones people want, and set up.
But they also bring up a great point of where can we direct these people.
Right. And I think if you want to buy t-shirts for our show, go to bigtop.funtimes.yahoo.org.gov. That's going to be our
squiggle.
No, we'll figure that out and we will let you guys know. As far as purchasing an old one, I don't know if that's possible. Well, I think a lot of them are available on eBay for, you know, if you have $1,000 lying around.
Sure.
You can get one on eBay. The next one is from Rob. Thank you, Alexis. Next one is from Rob, and it says, never go to the second location.
Mm.
Now, you're always good about knowing what people are referencing. Do you know what that is a reference to?
It is a quote from 30 Rock.
Okay. See what I mean?
Jack tells Liz Lemon, never go to a second location. I forget the context, but we must, what episode was this on? The comment.
I didn't put that in. It was several weeks ago. It was like 2 or 3 weeks ago. Here's my take on going to the second location, which I did not know was a 30 Rock quote. But if you are being robbed, if somebody comes up to you on the street and says, I have a gun, come with me, we're going to empty your account when we go to the ATM or whatever, never go to the second location because that's when they have you under their control. That said, if you're on a date, now this comes from all those pickup artists, all those people,
VH1
people.
Okay.
Do you remember that show on VH1?
Yeah. I don't know if we would call them VH1 people.
Is that insulting?
There's a lot of VH1 people, and I don't know if I would consider the pickup artists.
I think of them as the VH1
people. The flagship of the network.
VH1 is the pickup network, right?
Or it was 25 years ago.
Was that how long ago that was?
It was a while. I feel like it was like...
We had one of those guys do monologues at ASCAP. The guy who wrote the book about those guys did monologues at ASCAP. And that guy went into that subculture to write about it and became the leader of that subculture.
He got red-pilled or whatever.
Yes. Absolutely.
Mixing horrible male
But it's all
culture.
The same guys. Yeah. But anyway, I think that's one of the things they said is like, when you're out on a date, you got to go to a second location and a third location.
Because then you're in control, just like you said about the robbery.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I didn't even think about that. I think it's more the idea of like creating action so that it's an adventure rather than, you know.
Just sitting like, so, yeah.
Just sitting like I would do in a bar, which is like, I'm going to stay here for 11 hours. I don't want to go anywhere. I hope you enjoy this date with me. This 11-hour wing eating whiskey drinking.
But what cracks me up is I'm sure he was referencing something very specific that we talked about in the podcast. And I'm sure all of these guesses that we're having have nothing to do.
Not even close. Yeah. Not even close. Okay. Here is one from Jack Erdman, who wrote to us and said he was a new listener.
Oh, wow.
You remember that.
Welcome.
Well, no. He had written, that was one we read a few weeks ago. See, I feel like you know all these things and then you don't even remember what happened like 2 weeks ago.
I don't. Well, when you said it's a new listener, I assumed it was a
new. Right. No. He wrote in and said, I'm a new listener. I found you guys through this and this. Now, and we talked about it on the show. So this is the newest comment where he says,
great.
Thanks for the shout out.
Now I am not going to listen to it anymore.
I am no longer a new listener, nor am I an old listener. I am not a listener. Click.
Past listener. I'm a VH1 person.
I got red pilled. He says, thanks for the shout out. I'm flattered you would both take the time. Good luck on the improv show. I'll watch on YouTube if it's streamed. Have a great week. I want to talk about the YouTube.
Yeah,
show.
Did that get figured out?
Well, I'm saving that for my parting shot.
Okay.
But I will come back to that. Okay, here's one from Tennille, and I'm going to say her last name is Wheatoff, but I could be completely wrong about that because it's spelled in an unusual way. Tennille says, hello, medium time listener here.
I'll take it.
I started listening late-ish. I think my first show was the one you were all extremely drunk for, and I've been a fan ever since. Recently, because of some long car trips to take my dog for cancer treatment an hour and a half away.
Yeah. I'm so sorry.
I've been putting on earlier shows that I'd missed, and I've been playing them in no order at all. It's fun to have zero timeline, but the same bits pop up. You guys repeat yourselves constantly. I really loved having all the parents as guests at random times. This past week, somehow I ended up with the podcast from Trump's first week in office. It was recorded the day after the Women's March. Listening to you all have hope that things could be rectified was charming. If only we could tell those sweet, naive souls about what was to come.
Yeah.
Thanks for keeping me amused all these years. You've really created a great time capsule of life during the past decade. I think this
That's
is,
so kind. You know,
in hundreds of years, archaeologists will listen to this podcast as research for a variety of projects they're doing. No, that was really nice. So sorry about your dog.
I know, that's horrible.
I hope the treatment is going okay, you know? And sorry we repeat ourselves all the time, and sorry that we were idiots about Trump.
I would guess that you amongst us were the least positive.
Well, I'm guessing what it was great guess.
No, but I'm saying you were right. So,
but I'm guessing that even I in that moment was like, boy, there's really a lot of people that are upset about this.
Oh, and we're definitely
gonna have an effect. Yeah. And then it was just a fucking disaster that could easily be repeated. Mm-hmm. Could easily be repeated. I'll say it one more time. I mean, he's going to run for president again, and he could win because of the way the voting structure is constructed in this country. Mm. And if he doesn't win, it doesn't matter.
He's
going to say he won, you know? What a fucking crazy time. Anyway, the next one is from our old friend, Al Burns, who says, this is hilarious. I have a video game recommendation for Sean, Return of the Obra Dinn. Have you ever heard of Return of the Obra Dinn?
I'm not a big game. I don't even have a game console.
I do, but I haven't touched it in years. I got it, I think, over about 10 years ago.
Not even during like extreme lockdown as like something to do.
That actually makes me think that I should have done that. I should have spent
because I almost bought one, but I was like, I know the second I get a console,
right?
Like, I won't need it any longer.
I'm just realizing as I'm sitting here, I'm like, I could have spent hours every day going through Red Dead Redemption and, you know, The Last of Us and all that kind of stuff. Although if I'd gone through The Last of Us, I wouldn't have enjoyed the TV show as much. But here is his description of Return of the Obra Dinn. It seems like he does kind of have me nailed as far as the kind of game I would
enjoy. Is it on a ship?
Hold on. Yes. Set in 1807, you
and you're
play
like,
as
humana, humana, humana.
I did. I will say I did jerk off when I read this.
No.
Set in 1807, you play as an insurance investigator trying to figure out.
I didn't see that one coming.
You know how I fucking live for insurance investigation. Trying to figure out why a ship returned full of dead bodies.
Whoa.
Your main tool is a magic pocket watch. Okay. That lets you see the moment of someone's death. When I started playing the game, I was worried that I was getting everything wrong, but the game is actually quite forgiving. You can revisit deaths as many times as you want, and the game validates causes of death in groups of three. If four people on the ship died of poison, and you guess one person was stabbed and three died of poison, the game will lock in your three correct guesses and allow you to guess again on the fourth. So it is a couple of interests that I have, such as the 1800s, ships, investigation. Like, I know you're focused on the insurance part, but I'm focused on the investigation.
It also sounds sort of like an expanded riddle or something. Like,
right.
It sounds...
You're solving a mystery, basically.
Yeah.
I love pocket watches.
The magic pocket watch kind of... I think it did the same for you. Like, it felt like we were...
In a very realistic place.
Yeah,
and
we had a
it was
tone
like,
and a
but
place.
It's.
And I was like, oh, okay.
You're an insurance investigator with a magic pocket watch.
Right.
I got to check out what happened to these people before I make any payments on their insurance.
I got
to
make my bonus.
Where's me magic pocket watch? But it does sound fun. I'll have to look into that.
Yeah, that sounds really cool.
It might mean either getting this goddamn thing going again or getting another system. Okay, here is another one from Joe Fox. If everybody, this is a quote. It says, if everybody goes to prison and has to punch the biggest guy, he's going to get really hurt.
I do remember that. We had that conversation.
Yes.
Because we were saying that everyone should go to prison.
I believe you said that. And it's true. It's true.
Also abolish prisons.
And it says, it's also funny to imagine politicians doing that. I'm not sure what they're doing. Are they punching the biggest guy? Oh, yeah, maybe that's it.
Yeah.
It's funny to imagine politicians going to prison and punching the biggest guy.
That is funny. Well, they all would think that they are the biggest guy. That is the problem. And
they have a bad sense of physical space versus
right.
Bloviating space.
And just ego,
right,
I think.
Right. I take up a lot of room. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is from Adam, and this is a specific question for you.
Okay.
It says, looking back at your journey with Smudgy, how do you feel about the different approaches you took with his training? What would you do knowing what you know now? I'm assuming that means what would you do differently knowing what you know now?
That is a really good question. I know that I'm constantly like celebrating the growth and
improvement.
The improvement that we've had with Smudgy. I want to make it crystal clear.
He's a lunatic.
We took him to the vet a couple weeks ago, and they prescribed us an anti-anxiety medication for him. We didn't ask for that. Like, he is certifiably nutso-butso. And but
has it had an effect?
We haven't really used it. They said, please give it to him the next time he comes in for a checkup. It was for them. It was for them, not for us.
Right.
And we're trying, because he gets, he's smart. He's wily, man. Like, we used to give him CBD chews to calm him down, and he just stopped taking them. And then even if we mashed them up in other food, he would like somehow pick out every particle of. So we're trying not to use it until we need to.
Right.
Because we are cool with him on a day-to-day basis. That wasn't the question, though. But I just wanted to make it. I just didn't
But yeah, that wasn't the question. But also, I think saying you can say everything you just said, but also say he's better than he used to be.
Totally. Right. I just want to make it clear that it isn't like this fairy tale. Like,
right.
Everything is changed and different. I don't know what we would do differently. Honestly, I think we've gotten to where we've gotten with him. It sounds cheesy as hell. Like, I don't know if there's been a bigger change in him or us. Like, are we just,
ugh.
I know, but like, are we just not losing our minds every time he loses his mind? Yeah. And that helps things like ease out. Like,
that also feels like it could be like a feedback loop. Like,
exactly.
You guys don't freak out, so he doesn't get the vibe that you're freaking out, so he freaks out less, and so on and so
right. And we just have a relationship and trust. Like, we'll get to it. It's part of my checking in. But he is cool with us. It doesn't mean he's necessarily cool with everyone else.
Right.
So I guess I don't know if we would do anything differently. I still to this day don't know if the school we sent him to put him on a leash was the best choice. Like, if it was the most humane situation for an animal, but he got on a leash, like, and no one else could. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess my answer is I don't know if I would do anything differently. I would just sort of trust the process and know that it gets better. I guess, like, just it was darkest when we didn't know if anything would ever improve.
Right.
And so just having the hope that, like, stay the course, it's going to be fine.
How long do you feel like that period lasted for?
The dark?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's really hard to tell. Also, we've fallen so crazy head over heels deeply in love with him. So he also, like, the things that might be
right,
bad.
Right.
We're just like, oh, we're delighted.
Right. You guys are like, no. He just rips people's throats out sometimes.
Yeah.
It's a cute thing. Look at him. Look how cute he is.
But it was like it wasn't like we woke up one day and everything was different.
Yeah.
It was so gradual that I can't really pinpoint the time frame, unfortunately.
Right.
But it was a long time. It was a long, I want to say like a year, 9 months, something crazy like that. Yeah.
Look at it. Look at the way he made you bleed. Isn't that, what a sweetie.
My friend Lampy always says, have you seen the Christopher Guest movie, Best in Show?
Mm-hmm.
She says that we are that yuppie couple who are like, you obviously don't know my dog. And that's us and Smudgy because we are yuppies.
I feel like that's a lot of dog owners, though. You know, they're like, this is adorable versus like from the outside. People are like, excuse me.
Totally.
You know.
Well, and also we forget like what a normal dog is like. And we're like, oh, yeah, you can't pet him. Why would you think that you can pet him? That's insane.
Right. Are you out of your mind? Why would you ever want to pet this dog?
You can pet him if you know him a year, and then he might let you. But you still have to, like, feel him out. And that's the other thing. Like, we can read his signals better. Like, you could just see when he's in a bad way. It doesn't feel like it's coming out of nowhere.
You can pet him if you have an assistant, like the guy on Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. He holds him down, and then you get to pet him. For anybody out there who gets that reference, please write in and say, never go to the second location. Okay. This is from Zaman Harris. I'm not sure. Baskin and Jerry's, Ben Robbins. Is that a thing? And I get that one because
we were talking about
Baskin and Robbins. Instead of Baskin Robbins.
Yes.
Look, I don't know a lot about ice cream, okay? I don't know the names of these things. Salt straw. So I got it wrong. I'm sorry about that. This is from Phil in Canada. I guess Phil, because Phil used to have another name on YouTube. I guess he must have changed his name. He says, I recently heard Heidi on,
Sus, as the kids would say,
what is
sus,
it?
sus.
Sus. Yes. So sus. And sus stands for, I don't know what it stands
You
for.
know, do it.
I can't think of another word besides the right one that starts with sus. There's just, it's such a specific prefix that it doesn't.
You can think of a three, like three words that are that spell that out.
Sus. Oh, sometimes under silliness. Very sus. Oh my God, that is so sus. Woo-hoo!
Well, it's just like LOL, how
Right.
people would think that means like lots of love.
Lol, yeah.
And so they would be like, my dog died, like LOL. It's like,
Please look up in the Urban Dictionary what that says. Okay, so Phil says, I recently heard Heidi, our friend Heidi in Idaho, on a listener call-in episode of Stop Podcasting Yourself.
Oh,
It was
wow.
quite a shock when she referred to one of the hosts as a gorgeous, godly fuck. This is upsetting.
Don't know what to
I don't
say.
either. And I don't even know, like, I don't know if this is a joke or if this is, like, I'm not sure. Yeah,
I'm upset.
I might, here's the problem. I got business cards made that say gorgeous godly fuck on them. And you know how when you get business cards
And it
made?
says the only one.
Yeah. The one and only gorgeous godly fuck. And you know how when you get business cards made, you get like 40,000 at
Oh,
once,
so many, yeah.
and they'll last you for decades. What am I going to do? Throw them away? It was like $40. A thousand for $10, or I don't know what the math is. Anyway, somebody has some explaining to do of that comment.
It seems like it's a go-to of hers, huh?
I guess so. Okay, this is from Ace. And it says, loving Sean's villain era of being very agreeable and apologetic. This is why I think this episode's recency bias t-shirt idea should be a picture of Sean's face with a cartoonish evil mustache drawn on and the word agree underneath. Pretty
That's pretty
good.
good.
Oh, you'll love this part. On a separate note, I did actually have quite a bit of trouble when I was trying to find the podcast on YouTube, being under the channel name Sean Conroy Gets Happier and the phrase The Long Shot Podcast, only bringing up a certain podcast relating to basketball that shall not be named for fear of giving them more press. Yeah. Duncan Robinson is the guy. He plays for the Miami Heat. He had a big game yesterday on his birthday, and I was just fuming while I was watching it on TV. I was so mad. Like, that fucking guy. Like, I guess somebody was hurt, so he started over this other guy, and he had a lot of, he's a 3-point specialist, Duncan Robinson. Anyway, Duncan, if you're listening,
Happy birthday. Hope you
happy
get better.
birthday. I think it's great. I think it's great for a basketball player to have the name Duncan.
Yeah, that is cool. That's
Yeah.
very cool.
And I don't know if you've ever been to the place, but you should check out and try Dunkin' and Donuts. It's really good.
No, but yeah, it's that speakeasy life. You gotta know
Yeah.
the password. You gotta be in the know.
You got to earn it.
Yeah, we make you work for it, but ooh, is it worth it? I don't know, is it?
On a separate note, I think Sean may just be onto something with his groundbreaking medical establishment theory. It's almost like making things easier and more accessible is not a priority in our country or something. Yeah, I was complaining about something. Who the fuck knows what I was complaining about? Something. Okay, so this next one, thank you, Ace, for saying all that. I do think that's a funny idea for a t-shirt. But again, recency bias. And I apologize about the YouTube stuff, but there's reasons for that that I don't remember that happened like years ago.
So. Well, I remember.
Yeah.
We were planning on doing one reunion episode mm-hmm. in lockdown.
Right.
And so you're like, it's one, I'll post it on my YouTube channel.
And it was the first time we had really recorded it on video.
In a year.
Done Zoom. It was the first time we had done one on Zoom, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we just kept doing that and we didn't.
Because our final episode was here in my apartment. We were all together for that. Anyway, it was all part of my plan to get the
all those hits.
Although I will say today, when I went to the page to find all these things, mm-hmm. I clicked on one of the videos and an ad came up. And I'm like, who is advertising on our podcast? And
where's that money?
Yeah, getting the millionth of a cent every time somebody plays one of our episodes. I really do want to find that out because who the hell knows, like, what goes on with these people on YouTube? I really – okay, so here is
– what people?
Here is a letter, not a letter. It's not a letter. Who writes letters anymore? It's an email I got.
Oh, an actual email.
An actual email from Ace. So I think I did this out of order. This came in probably before the comment because it was an email. And this is the email from Ace.
Oh, because he couldn't find the YouTube. So he emailed.
No, I think, well, I'll just read it to you.
Okay.
Ace, oh, maybe that was why he wrote. Yeah, it says, "Dear Sean and Amber, I'm writing to you because I can't find you on YouTube." I'm wrong. No. But maybe that is why. I just love that the name is Ace. Like, how many Aces do you know?
It's a really cool name.
Ace, I don't know. Ace Frehley from Kiss.
Ace Ventura.
Aces over Eights is the Dead Man's Hand in poker. Okay. Hello, Sean and Amber. What a surreal experience this is. Finally writing to my favorite podcast.
Aww.
Sorry it took so long. I've been quite busy and or overwhelmed constantly.
Same. Get it.
My name is Ace. I'm not sure if you remember this, but I created those 3D cube character renderings of all of you on Twitter when you were still the world's number one four-person podcast, now number one two-person podcast.
That's awesome.
I do remember that, and mm-hmm. I honestly wish I still had those because they were fantastic. Like, I don't know. I don't remember when that was. It wasn't that long ago. It was just a few years ago, I think. But I feel like now I would be like, you know, posting those on Instagram, using them as...
Well, maybe Ace can resend them. Maybe he has them in his file somewhere.
He probably kept them. I mean, I don't know. I created those renderings in my last year of high school, and I am
That's so crazy.
Yeah, I know. And I am now in my third year of college. I am a computer science student. It has been quite odd to have a first college experience in the midst of a pandemic.
That's so crazy. I'm so sorry. I do not envy you. That feels very strange.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't imagine what it would be like going to college in the middle of the pandemic. That's what, you know, Dante talks about that, about going to the University of During the Dark. Okay. When I applied, I definitely wouldn't have predicted this would be the state of the world. At least it's keeping me busy. I thought I would share a little bit about my history of having you all chat into my ears. This podcast is the one that has stuck with me through it all. Even though I've changed a lot since I found it, I still adore it as much as ever.
Aww.
I initially uncovered this gem of a podcast when I was probably a sophomore in high school.
Like 14, 15 years old?
Where were Ace's parents to tell him not to listen to this? Now you can imagine some random kid from Iowa listening to every regrettable thing you ever said on the podcast.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. Insert evil laugh here. Though my recollection of how I found the podcast is hazy, I believe I discovered it searching for the best long comedy podcasts, which is a hilarious search. I like comedy, but I like it really long.
Well, and the fact that long is in our name probably helped get included in that search.
We know how SEO works. When people are looking for long podcasts, they're going to find us.
They're going to search Sean Conroy Gets Happier.
The first episode I ever listened to was episode number 921, the Shit Show season finale episode featuring Joe Wagner. Well, what an introduction it was. Luckily, I listened to a few previous episodes to discover that was an anomaly of an episode. Eventually, I became hooked on the podcast and have listened ever since. I don't remember that what that was, but I'm assuming there was drunkenness involved. And yeah. I don't know that for sure, but I think it's hilarious that two people wrote in. Because I don't feel like in the 13 years we've been doing the podcast, there's just a history of like drunkenness on the show.
Well, and I don't even remember our own history. This is horrible. But wasn't Joe the one who confronted you about being a bully to Jamie? And that's why you started giving him money? And
yes.
So it might have been like all of this, like it was like weirdly tense and we were drunk.
Right. Yeah. Drinking and tense relationships do not mix. That is... If you're a 14-year-old kid in Iowa listening to this podcast, I want you to make sure that when you have things to work out with other people, don't do it while you're drinking, because that will not help. I was ecstatic when I found out you were continuing the podcast. I love hearing you talking and making each other laugh again. Though you don't know me, you have brought me so much joy and kept me company in the ups and downs of my life. Thank you for all of it. Good day, good night, good desk. Ace.
That is incredibly sweet. Incredibly kind.
Really, really nice email. I don't even want to go back and listen to the Shit Show season finale. I'm afraid, you know. I don't want to hear why we decided to call it that. Okay.
And if we call this show the Shit Show... We mean it.
Naked Comedy is the next comment, and we know who that is.
We know
long
who that
time
is.
Listener, one time producer Sam here. Thanks for keeping on with the show. Excited to see what Felipe comes up with for the new merch. I love that she's putting Felipe on the spot. I know he volunteered, but it's still funny to me. I have a merch art pitch for someone else to materialize. I feel like that's a lot of my ideas are like, here's what you guys should do. Like, that's the best way to come up with stuff is like, I have a great idea for you guys to do something. Basically, Sean and Amber stylized like the National Lampoon Vacation movie cover, but have them placed on an old ship in a big ocean storm. With the text, come hell or high water. If this interests you, Sean, can you please suggest ships for people to draw based off of? I think you should draw that movie cover, like National Lampoon Vacation, with us on an old ship in a big ocean storm, with the text, come hell or high water. And the ship is a ship in 1807 that has just come in with a... whole bunch of dead bodies on board, and I have a magic pocket watch.
It could be a crossover, and then whatever the name of that game is.
I think it's Obra Dunn, if I remember correctly. Is that
can help fund the t-shirt production.
Right. Return of the Obra Dinn. So Obra Dinn, I'm assuming, is the name of the ship because it's returning. Your ship has just come in and it's full of dead bodies. Call the insurance company and find out what killed them. Do we really have to pay out if they were poisoned and stabbed to death?
I don't know. Check your magic stopwatch.
Okay. Here's the next one. Again, this is an ace episode. We should call this the Ace Shit Show because this is another comment from Ace. The apartment manager gaslighting Sean over the sweater being his for so long is so strange. Agreed. Like the amount of baseless confidence and time this person must have to be told that the sweater does not belong to you and to then argue with you that it does is wild. Like if I am told I am wrong about something, I am instantly going to believe them and second guess myself. I don't know if that's a good idea, Ace, because sometimes you're right about things. So don't feel like you have to immediately change your beliefs, but right. I get what you're saying.
But I would say in this circumstance, like with the stakes being so low, like, right. Great, I thought it was your sweater. It's not moving right. on.
Why would you continue? Yeah, there are certain things where it's like, no, that doesn't belong to me. I think it does belong to mm-hmm. you. Unless it's like a murder weapon or something.
Right,
like, this is your gun that killed this guy.
Are you like, no, yeah, does not. He think that he was like, you were planting evidence or right. what?
I am instantly going to believe them and second guess myself. This manager seems to have just made up a reality based on clearly false information and would not let it go. It somehow feels like an allegory for right-wing politics, since basing assumptions on verifiably false information seems to be their bread and butter. I agree. Yes. Ace, you're singing my song. I was watching Fox News today, and I'm not going to go into a whole, because I don't know if you heard, but Tucker Carlson. Anyway.
We already did this.
But I did want to see what they were going to do and how it would play out. So I watched the beginning of the 8 o'clock hour and the 9 o'clock hour of Fox News.
That's too much already. That's too much, Sean. But
here's what's
like,
funny
to me. I didn't
want to
watch too much. I watched like 3-4 hours.
No, just for like the beginning, the 5 minutes at the top to see what they would, how they would distract people, like what things they would bring up to go, look at this shiny thing over here. It's not our problem. It's this other thing. And one thing that I have heard over and over again that I think is kind of funny, although super weird, is, and Hannity, Sean Hannity, I don't know if you know who he is. He's another hilarious piece of shit dude on Fox who wishes he was as popular as Tucker Carlson. Like he was Tucker Carlson before Tucker Carlson was Tucker Carlson, and he just got completely eclipsed by Tucker Carlson. But very vile. And he was talking, as he often does, he was talking about the Biden family crime syndicate.
Oh my God.
And I'm just curious. And I know like Hunter Biden's laptop is this huge iconic problem in,
but like the Trumps are literally
also, I just want to know who is in this Biden family crime syndicate. Like, Joe and Hunter, it doesn't seem like there's anybody else a part of it, you know? I should have done this. I actually thought about doing this and then I didn't. I wanted to Google Biden family crime syndicate because I'm guessing if you did that, you would find out that when they're talking about that, there's all sorts of other people involved. That they've like apartment manager sweatered into being a part of this whole conspiracy. But it's just so weird that they keep talking about the Biden family crime syndicate. And like you said, especially given that the Trumps are so clearly corrupt, that there isn't the same – I guess it's that there isn't the same thirst for nonsense on the left. There's right. more of an interest in facts and reality. So there's a thing of like, yeah, the Trumps are garbage. They're human shit walking on two legs.
But let's hear them out.
But they're not. Well, not even that. But they're not. Yeah. We got to listen to what they have to say. They might make some good points.
I feel like that is a critique of the left, is that because the point of view already comes from empathy, like we almost do it to a fault where it's like there's. Like, they're bad. We don't need to see, like, where are the Nazis coming from? Like, we can draw a line in the sand.
Well, that, and also there is just literally this conservative media organization that's been running for 30 years, radio shows and TV shows, just craziness that has gotten people so worked up, which, as we've seen just in the last few days, results in a guy answering the door when somebody is just trying to pick somebody up from the wrong house and shooting them in the head. So things are good.
Crazy.
Thanks, Ace. No, thanks, Tucker Carlson. But I think this is a great analogy to right-wing politics, is this manager going like, no, I think it's your sweater. No, it's not mine. No, it is yours. You're part of the, sweater family crime syndicate. Okay, so the next one is from Felipe, our friend Felipe in Brasilia. And I had done a thing last week where I just showed off a bunch of things I had on my mantle. And one of them was a little figurine of a church that I had gotten in Colombia, and it had some writing on it. And one of the things it said was La Tercera, which I did not know what that meant. I thought it meant library or window, but it actually means the third. And Felipe wrote in to say La Tercera means the third. It's a church. The figurine is an actual church in Bogota, because he lived in Colombia for 14 years. So he knows.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I'm sure I was in Colombia for a wedding many, many years ago, which is when I got this little souvenir. I'm sure we must have gone to that church, because I was there for like 48 hours and got on a bus and went on a tour and saw the gold museum they have there and, you know, a bunch of other stuff. But I just don't remember the specifics. And then here's the last one. This is another one from Phil in Canada. Used to have a different name, very sus. And this is something I knew. I don't know if you knew this. It's very sad. He says, I heard about Eddie's father passing on his show. I love him and hope he's doing okay. So, everybody send love to Eddie, whose father died recently. Because that's always difficult. A family member dies. Obviously death is a tough thing. On that note, that's the conclusion of our YouTube comments segment.
Tough end, Sean.
I should have anticipated that. I should have like flipped that around so that.
Have you ever noticed how cars are weird? It's my checking in.
It would have been good to end with Ace's thing about right wing politics instead of. Okay. How about we just go into parting shots? What do you think?
Okay, but the parting shots will be sort of the checking in if you so choose.
Right. Okay, so it's time for a segment on the show that we call Parting Shots. So let's start today with Amber.
Yes. Last weekend, I went to a friend's wedding in Temecula, and both Jeff and I have had very stressful work situations. And so it's been a thing where it's like, oh, we gotta get Smudgy to the vet and get him to make sure his vaccinations are all up to date. That way he can go to this boarding place, and that way we can go to this wedding. Like it, and so we were squeezing that in between things. He did get his vaccinations. We went to the vet. I told you that he got a prescription.
Anti-anxiety.
Yes. Yeah. But we were sort of putting off signing him up for the boarding because it's like always so easy and fine and whatever. And we wanted to make sure that is what we wanted to do. And I think we had like 2 days before we had to leave. And I was at work having a crazy stressful day. Jeff was having a crazy stressful day here. And he sends me a text saying, Smudgy School was closed. Like the website's gone. The Instagram is gone. Like it just doesn't, it's sus.
Yeah. This was the place that got him on a leash?
Yes.
Not good. Not good.
But also, so now we're like, oh, we have a wedding in Temecula and we have zero options even of where
Smudgy's school is now Phil in Canada.
Totally. And, you know, it was so funny because if it were a less stressful, busy day at work, I think both of us would have been like, okay, what are we going to do? Blah, blah, blah. And we both just were like, and like, I can't handle that right now. And, but we were like, okay, so we have some options when we finally were able to stop working and settle down. And the options are not great. You know, like we could always ask a friend to watch him, but we're very hesitant to do that for the reasons we talked about earlier. Like he's a spicy little dude, and I would hate to sort of put a friendship on the rocks because our dog is difficult, or like, right, or ask a friend to be that responsible, like to give them that hard of a task. Mm-hmm. It turns out the hotel that we got was dog friendly. So I was like, I could always call and say, we're adding a dog, bring the crate. He's just crying in the crate in the hotel room when we go to the wedding. And then we come back.
Hi, I'm in room 612. Yeah. Someone's crying next door. Right.
More screaming, but, mm-hmm. And then I also was like, what about my brother? My brother, Mark, has a house with a big, big yard, and he's good with dogs, and he lives sort of on the way to the wedding. So it like checked off a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But it felt like a shot in the dark because it's not something I've ever asked him to do. I asked him and he immediately was like, yes, please, can't wait, let's do this. That was too many words. I think it was all like one word.
Answer. Are you being sarcastic right now? Yes, I want to take your dog in. Please bring him over. Please. I'm interested. Can't wait. I'm interested. Yeah.
So we did that. We changed our plans. We were supposed to be at the hotel Friday night and Saturday night. The wedding was Saturday. But we were like, screw that. We want to put people out the least amount of time. So we drove to my brother's on Saturday, dropped him off. It was the longest
day. Early in the day.
Yeah. It was the longest day. And then we kept driving till we got to our hotel, changed into the wedding clothes, and went right to the wedding. But, you know, we packed up all of his stuff. Very, the yuppie couple from Best in Show. Like, this is his toy, and these are his treats, and this is his mm-hmm. food. But we also were like, whatever. He's at a sleepover. Like, he can eat whatever, he can do what, like, whatever makes everyone happy and gets us through the weekend. And my brother has a dog that looks a lot like him, but taller, and they were running in the yard as soon as we dropped him off and we got out of there. And, it was nice. This sounds really silly, but like, oh, like, to have family and to ask family for help and feel like we have that was really nice. And we went to the wedding and it was lovely. I was going to talk about this more, but I feel like we got to wrap things up. I danced my butt off on this dance floor. The first half of the dance floor, the bride's stepdad has a band. So it was a lot of just like dad rock. And I could dance.
What is dad rock, by the way? I'm curious.
Like classic
night
rock.
Moves.
Kind of. I don't know.
Woke last night to the sound of thunder.
Well, and like there was good songs. They would play like David Bowie, and they would play stuff. But it's just Jeff was laughing because he's like, "Oh my god, you have dance floor blue balls so bad right now, don't you?" Because I wanted to just like dance like,
and they were like, "I have become comfortably numb."
And I was like, I can dance to this, but it's like, it's not my best work. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then at some point they stopped playing and they put on just an iPod mix. And I was like,
yesterday morning, they yeah. let me know you were gone.
And I was like, yes. And I came to life and, I danced. I mean, I was sweating. Every inch of my body was sweating.
Mm-hmm.
It was so fun. I feel like I just needed to dance like that. Dance yeah. like hard and for
I'm
hours.
Going to
and
Graceland,
hours.
Graceland, yes. Memphis, Tennessee.
And, but I truly wasn't trying, because I know me. I know when I'm like trying to like get the spotlight. I was just like, I just want to dance, and I was actively being like, look at them, and like, look at the bride. And
Amber's doing some weird moves out on the dance floor. She calls it the look at them.
Well, I want to say every parent of both the bride and the groom came up to me and they were like, we just love watching you dance. And I was like, awesome. Thank you. I had like a weird receiving line when I left. People were like, great job. I was like, well, it's my duty. And yeah, we went back to the hotel, blah, blah, blah. It was late. We were tired.
Who knew somebody could get that excited about moving to welcome to the Hotel California.
Exactly.
Such a lovely place. It really was amazing to watch you dance to that.
Oh, there was a moment that the dad band played a Cake song. I don't know if you even know Cake.
Oh, come on.
I know.
I know what Cake is. It's the food you have at a wedding.
They played
I Will Survive.
No, it wasn't that. And it wasn't long jacket. The Speed Racer one.
The one with a trumpet in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They played that and both me and Jeff were like, oh! And then we looked around and we were like, oh, we are 40 and no one else knows this music. Like, the parents were too old and the kids, right. like, everyone else was too young. And I was like, this is so, like, we outed ourselves. But that was really fun. And yeah, we picked up Smudgy the next day, and you know,
is that the song about throwing a guitar out the window? Doesn't Cake have a song about throwing a guitar out the window or something like that? We'll figure it out.
Okay. But we picked up Smudgy. I like didn't want to be like, so how's my dog? Can I have pictures of my dog? What's going on with my dog? So I didn't do that. But I was like, how was he? We're on our way back. You know, we might hit traffic, but we're on our way to you. And my brother was like, he was great. And I was like, awesome. Like, this is a possibility. This is opening up our world. And then when we picked him up, he's like, so he didn't let any of us anywhere near him. And I was like, okay, so great is relative.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was.
I'm so
nice.
Glad to have him here. It was great. It was so fun. I'm glad we did this. It's really been a good time. Thanks for everything. Get him out.
I think he meant it, but it wouldn't have worked if he didn't have that big yard. Because I don't think he even walked him on a leash or anything. He just let him run around. And I was just happy because I feel like in the past, Jeff would have just been like, oh, I'm not going to the wedding. I'll be with Smudgy. And I really didn't want that to be the case again. I want to do things with my husband. I don't.
Of course.
So yeah, that was all very nice and very exciting. And that is my.
Who would have been there to be on the dance floor with you when they were like, I just called to say I love you. Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Cake, the song you're thinking of is The Distance.
Yes.
And there's Short Skirt, Long Jacket. Never There.
Uh-huh.
I Will Survive, I said. Love You Madly is a great one. Let Me Go. Yeah. War Pigs. Frank Sinatra.
Okay. We got to go see Cake in concert.
Comfort Eagle. Sheep Go to Heaven. Uh-huh. Goats Go to Hell. Yes, I know Cake. I'm familiar with Cake, okay? I did have to look up all their songs, but I knew all of them. I can't believe I named all those dad rock songs. Like, I feel like in an improv show, when somebody goes, this is the kind of song we're going to do, everybody just blanks. Like, there's something weird.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where you're like, I can't think of a single song. I can't
think of anything. Yeah. So the fact that I pulled that off, I'm like really impressed with myself right now. Mm-hmm. Sheep Go to Heaven. I remember one time I was driving out of a parking structure in New York, and I was going down and somebody else was coming up, and it was, for some reason, it was packed. So it was like we were going by each other really slowly. Uh-huh. And I had the Cake version of I Will Survive cranking in my car. And the guy, he was just next to me for like a minute. And he was like, that is fucking awesome. What is that? And I was like, that's Cake, man. Check it out. And then we just crept slowly past each other.
Yes. No, I just... It was such a funny moment because Jeff and I both got so excited on the dance floor and we looked around and no one else recognized the song.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance. Well, I'm glad Smudgy was okay.
Yeah.
Okay, here is my parting shot, and this was going to be my parting shot, not my checking in, so I'm sticking to that.
Congrats.
Yeah, I'm not wavering in my beliefs.
You also got to choose the format.
So that's how like the show cheating. Works. Find this episode on Sean Conroy Gets Happier, the YouTube channel. So this episode will come out on Wednesday. On the Saturday of this week, I will have my first show of this improv show I'm doing, which is called Sean Conroy Presents Mixtape. That's the name of the show. I hate naming shows. It always is annoying to me, and this was no exception. I mean, I like the name Mixtape, and I immediately got an email from somebody saying, we have that name, and I don't know what to say. Like, I get it, but
sorry.
I also... Yeah,
there isn't like a copyright situation.
Right. It's not IP. So and the person was very nice about it. But, you know, I don't know what to tell you. But that show will start. And so I'm putting together an improv show where I'm asking people to perform with me and doing it at a theater that doesn't belong to me. And as my little brother pointed out to me, this is exactly the same situation I was in 30-something years ago when I moved to New York City and started doing improv. Like,
you made a lot of progress.
I have taken a giant step backwards.
But you want to be doing it. You've expressed how much you want to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Improv. And
it isn't like you're doing it because this is what you have to do in your career. You're doing it because you...
Right.
Want this is, to. It's a joy.
And I'm well aware, which I was not at the time that I did that show 30 years ago, I am well aware that this is not the ticket to the top, you know? Like, there's not going to be a moment when somebody comes to see an improv show and goes,
that kid,
oh my God,
put him in the movies.
I'm Bob NBC. Let's get this on NBC as soon as possible. The network named after my crime family syndicate.
Nepo babies.
Yeah. But you're absolutely right. It is just, we're doing it for fun, or I'm doing it for fun. I don't know if anybody else is going to enjoy it, but, I just hope people will come out. If you're in Los Angeles, come to the Lyric Hyperion Theater at 7:30 on Saturday, April 29th. That will be our first, show. We'll do a show on May 6th. Then we'll take a few weeks off. And then I think we have like 4 shows in June and 4 shows in July.
So wow.
A bunch of them. And then we'll see where we are and if we can get people to come out. And I said this on the podcast before and people have responded favorably. We're not going to do it for the first week, but we are going to do some live streaming. So if people want to check out the show, I will give out that information as soon as it becomes available. And I would love to
Amazing.
Do that. So very exciting, you know, the smell of the grease paint, the roar of the crowd. And I do always wear grease paint when I'm doing improv.
So it's the 29th, Saturday, 7:30 at the Lyric Hyperion.
Right. And you can buy tickets online. If you get them ahead of time, they're $10. If you buy them the day of the show, they are $15. So why not get them ahead of time? Ensure that you save that $5, which you, if you invest that $5 today,
Susie Orr,
in 3,000 years, you could own a boat.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my parting shot. And I think that is.
That's so exciting. That's so fun.
It will be fun no matter what. And I am excited to do it because it's just hard not to be able to do it on a regular basis when you're so used to it, you know? All right. Any final words? We always have a segment that we like to call final words.
Shot after parting shot.
Folks, this has been the long shot. Please like and supply at the bottom of the page here. Ring that
smash, bell. Smash, 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 smash.
Smash that like button. Mash that like button. Do something to that like button. And we will see you next time on The Long Shot. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, I have to stop it.
To clot the wobbling, it's hard to keep the cursing out, to put a stop to the sobbing. I'm trying to get you less completely.